If you're hearing this, it means tickets are now on sale for our streaming Cybactacular.
That's what we're calling the streaming show of our Star Trek V review that we toured last year. We filmed our Hollywood show, and it's going to be streaming on Thursday, May 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And the stream will be available for a couple of weeks after that. If you can't watch right at the premiere time. A couple of pieces of information about this. If you support us at MaximumFun.org/join and your membership is current, check your email inbox because Maximum Fun will have emailed you a promo code to get $5 off your ticket. And also, we have some VIP packages available that include a meet and greet with me and Adam. Those are going fast, so jump on that if you want a meet and greet VIP package. Again, it's greatestgentour.com to get your tickets for the streaming Cybactacular.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet. Engage.
Watch your back, Sean Luke.
I'm Captain Janeway of the USS Voyager.
Welcome to The Greatest Generation. It's a Star Trek podcast by a couple of guys just a little bit embarrassed about having a Star Trek podcast. I'm Adam Pranica.
I'm Ben Harrison.
Special ep today.
Special ep. Usually people tune in, you know, like they tune in to hear about the Star Trek and all that shit, but in some ways it's about the hang. It's about Ben and Adam's friendship and sitting in on that for some reason. Not today, my friend. Today, we are at Star Troggerheads.
It brings a sense of order and stability to my universe to know that you're still a pompous ass.
The courtroom is a crucible, and if we burn away irrelevances until we're left with a pure product, the truth.
When people of good conscience have an honest dispute, we must still sometimes resort to this kind of adversarial system. And hopefully we can make some good law out here.
And for good measure, sit on this.
Yeah, watch as I clip Pinocchio strings by taking away Ben's desk bottle of Mezcal.
I should have one of those.
He just slumps over.
That would be great. That would be a great addition to the home office. Desk Mez.
What are you doing out there? You've got no booze in your outboard office? Far away from the eyes of a wife?
I have a little bar cart, but it's all like mixers and stuff. You know, it's nothing like I could really like use. You know?
So that's where you're at, right? Out in the office, you're down to mixers?
Pretty much, yeah. I guess I have like Irish whiskey back here. I just don't, that's not really one of my my go-tos, you know? What are you drinking? You drinking a beer over there?
No, I'm just having a fizzy water.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we rolled a square on the game of buttholes. Will of the caretaker last week that has determined that we are going to pick a side. One of us is going to argue the pro and one of us is going to argue the con of today's episode.
Uh-huh.
Which will be painful for one of us because this is a episode directed by LeVar Burton.
Why does that make it painful? You don't think you can be honest about your opinions if a LeVar Burton is involved?
I mean, it would be hard for me to stomach endorsing anything that particular individual got behind.
He's doing it. That's the whole idea right there. Ben, I'm going to flip a coin. And okay. The coin I have in front of me was given to us by the National Security Agency.
Oh, boy.
Presented by the director
of
the National Security Agency. A coin that I'm almost positive does not have a listening device in it or a tracker.
Yeah, someone in the deep state knows whether this coin is heads up or tails up at all times, right?
I feel like if I touch this coin in a specific way, it could turn into a weapon. And that makes it fun.
So is it like heads you're arguing pro, tails you're arguing con? Is that how we should do it?
I think we should make it a little more aggressive than that.
Okay.
I'm going to flip the coin and then prove to you if it's heads or tails. And you're going to call that coin flip in the air. If you win the coin flip, here's what happens. You get to choose what side
oh,
I
okay.
take.
Oh, shit.
See what I'm saying?
All right, all right.
Whether I'm the pro or the con, you get to decide if you win this coin toss. If you lose the coin toss, I get to choose for you.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Okay. So here's the heads. Looks like the eagle. The tails, it's got a star on it.
And a bunch of symbols.
Yeah, and we'll go eagle or star to decide what happens next. Ben, you ready?
I am ready.
One, two, three.
Tails.
I've covered up the coin.
You did that great thing where you catch it and you flip it over and smack it onto your hand.
I did not look at it. I don't know what it's going to be. I'm gonna hold my wrist up to the camera.
Oh, we're going to both make history together live on videotape.
Here's the big reveal.
Wow, I win!
It's tails.
Adam, you will be arguing the pro of this episode.
Wow, I was not expecting that.
Wow.
That just felt like the most interesting state for us to be in. And I will be vehemently arguing the con.
So I'll be the Picard in the courtroom, and you will be the Riker taking arms off of characters and cutting strings. All right.
That's the plan.
I am ready. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. And I like a little gamification for our last week of the Max Fun Drive here.
Oh, yeah. The Greatest Gen Drive itself being a game of survival.
Yeah.
Where if we win, we get to do the show another year. If we lose, we go back to freelancing.
Ugh. Please don't make us lose.
Yeah, that'll put another bottle in your desk drawer, right?
Oh, no kidding. All right, Adam, what do you say we get into it? It's season 7, episode 19, a terrible episode, Q2.
Revert course.
Unless you've got something a little bigger in your torpedo tubes, I'm not turning too loud.
Our cold open comes straight out of one of the best movies, The Whale. Where Ichab's oral report about early Starfleet history is Captain Janeway's favorite essay in the entire world. Gives her great comfort.
The Pirate Ahab encounters many hardships.
Great essay, great moment, I thought.
I am super down with any time they treat like old Star Trek episodes as ancient Star Trek history.
Uh-huh.
But what is Janeway doing to this poor guy? Like, she has no poker face for this. Like, he's going on, and she cannot not roll her eyes.
This was supposed to be a 20-minute presentation.
I was trying to be thorough.
It's so fucked up.
It's such an interesting observation, because I think what you're saying is that Ichab is sophisticated enough to understand what nonverbal cues might be. Do we know that yet? Like maybe around Ichab, you could just be open with how nonverbally you react to everything that he does, and he just isn't going to get it.
Right. I guess that sort of, I rewatched the Re-Encounter at Farpoint video the other day, because it's one of our bonus content things that got released this month for the drive. And we were talking in that episode about how Commander Data has both risen through the ranks in Starfleet to the point where he's the second officer on the flagship. Like, uh-huh. He went through the academy. He like presumably had other commands. He has excelled in his career, but he's also needing to, you know, cite dictionary definitions of basic words in the pilot of Star Trek The Next Generation. We went on a little jag about, like, which is it? Is Data, like, completely new to the world, or has he been around a long time? And that's sort of a question in my mind with Ichab. Like, how messed up did his Borg experience make him? And also, has he been around the Voyager crew long enough to, like, catch social cues in an environment where they are an important part of, you know, day-to-day life?
I mean, that's the thing about Ichab. He is what you need him to be to further the story.
Guess you could say, I too am what you need me to be to further the story. I'll just be back here doing the stuff nobody else wants to do.
Hey, Ichab, does anyone want me to be anything else? Because I will be that. I will.
So, yeah, Janeway rolls her eyes through this whole presentation, cuts him off before he can get too far into it. Because this was supposed to be a short book report, and she has heard a small fraction of the beginning of the book report, but has satisfied herself that he knows enough about Starfleet history that he does not need to go any further.
Ben, how many times has this happened to you? I would bet, and I am a betting man, I would bet almost anything that you've never turned in a book report shorter than the required amount of pages. And in fact, most of them flew far over. Would that be a correct assumption?
I definitely played with font size and margin a little bit in my day.
You gotta do that.
I knew that Garamond looked a lot like Times New Roman, but filled pages up bigger. But yeah, I think that, especially when I was like interested in the subject, I would like actually opine in a way that some teachers found charming and endearing and others found extremely tiresome. They're like, I have to give this kid a good grade, but like, Jesus Christ.
Were you able to interpret the eye roll of a teacher with any accuracy? Or did that quality come much later as an adult, as a married adult specifically?
Are you trying to like sneakily do a neurodivergence test on me right now?
Hold on, I just have a couple more questions.
I have 79 more questions specifically. The camera reveals after Icheb leaves who this other voice is in the room saying, I would have failed him. It's a young Q, as played by Keegan DeLancey, actual son of John DeLancey. I looked up Keegan DeLancey and was delighted to find that he has 4 acting credits.
What?
2 of which are Choir Boy. In 2 different things, he has appeared as Choir Boy, and then he had one appearance as Q, and then like, he's in Ally McBeal, I think.
Are all 4 performances alongside his father? Is that how that worked for him?
Oh, man. I don't know. Was DeLancey in Ally McBeal?
American former actor is what Keegan DeLancey comes up as on the Google. How about that?
Oh, man. Betty White was also in the episode of Ally McBeal that he was on. That's cool.
Huh. That's so interesting. You know, you have the chance to be a Nepo kid, and he didn't take it. He's the meme where the sliding car does not go toward the exit.
Yeah.
It keeps going straight into a legitimate career as someone in the diplomatic service. How's that?
No kidding. He's in the Foreign Service?
Yeah.
Wow. I wonder if he knows our listener who's the ambassador to Lesotho.
I think they all know each other.
Do they see each other at like work parties and stuff?
I'm sure. Yeah, that's a big part of it.
Amazing. Good for him.
Was this an introducing credit to Keegan DeLancey? I didn't think he had this. This couldn't have been first, right?
Yeah, I think that this was, this episode came out in 2001, and maybe the Drew Carey Show, which is one of his Choir Boy credits, was his first at bat as an actor.
I think one of the things Keegan DeLancey does really well in this episode is physical acting. Like when he appears sitting on the corner of the couch, when he gets up, he's kind of got the like confident wiggle of a walk, you know, the saunter, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's really got it. The it that a Q has, you know, that sort of grating, annoying confidence of someone who has seen it all, has been everywhere, who can't wait to tell you about it. He's been to Barcelona, and that's what he calls it.
Barcelona y fantástico!
Every second of every day.
He's going to talk about Africa? Is that what you're saying? Fuck you, Adam.
He's just that guy. He is, I'm talking about Q2 now. Q2 is his father's son.
Hmm. Yeah. I had him as Q Jr. in my notes, and I kind of wish that that was what they called the episode. I just feel like Q Jr. is so much more, you know, evocative.
It could have been a huge argument about what to name him.
Right.
Shouldn't he want a name? Isn't it confusing for him? I don't know.
Do you think they gave any consideration to naming him R?
Lowercase q.
We learned that lowercase q is on the ship because Q Senior is kind of overwhelmed as a father. He has arranged for lowercase q to be on Voyager during what is called a vacation, but quickly, like, is kind of revealed to be like, this is going to be Q Senior dumping his problem child off on Janeway to whip into shape.
I am flattered that you would entrust me with your firstborn, but I really don't have time.
OG Q is overwhelmed, not because his son has aged so fast. The last time he was on the ship, it was 4 years ago, and now he's a teenager. That's not part of the problem at all. Problem is that the continuum has sort of enforced a kind of, I mean, punishment would be too big of a word, but they're like, you got to get this kid into shape. He's a real piece of shit.
Yeah. OGQ is at like pains to tell Janeway to keep his son away from Neelix, though, because he's like, I just know how he is. Like, if he finds out that there's like a 4 year old that looks much older on the ship, he won't be able to keep himself off of my son. And I'm not into that.
At no point is there like the inherent condescension of like, this is a human safari that they're on. Like,
right.
It's presented as like, you're going to get to be around humanity and to experience that. And something about this experience will be enriching and make you a more well-rounded person. But like when the humans are trapped on a ship in the middle of a 70-year journey back home or whatever, this is a zoo.
Right.
This is not enrichment in the normal way, I don't think. But the curvature of that kind of darkness isn't a part of this.
It's Q Walkabout. It's Q Rumspringa.
Mm-hmm.
Q Springa.
Yeah. Once the older Q fucks off, Janeway tells lowercase q that there's going to be rules for this vacation. And lowercase q snaps his fingers and nopes out of that conversation.
Yeah.
I make my own rules.
There's a real power imbalance here, and it is not in Janeway's favor. A
lot of eye rolls this episode, starting from jump.
Yeah, it's like the episode kind of knew how I was going to be feeling and kind of got in on the action of all the eye rolls.
Our course is locked in.
Do it.
Listen to me very carefully, because I'm only going to say this once.
Do it.
Over on the bridge, Tuvok can't find either of the cues on the sensors. But that doesn't mean he's not there. Lowercase q appears and does that thing where he just describes everyone he's seeing, and then at the end of it, comments on how bored he is already.
When are you going to do something interesting?
Say hello to Q, everyone.
He proposes a bunch of dangerous shit to Janeway. It seems like there are possibilities for fun. Possibilities she's not interested in.
Yeah. I wonder how much, you know, when you read about, like, you know, actors playing, like, the same character two different ages, you know, like young Forrest and Tom Hanks working out the character of Forrest Gump. And famously, Tom Hanks did the accent based on the kid that they cast and not the other way around.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's great.
I always wonder, like, in situations like this, like, was Delancey on set, like, giving here's how I would do it kind of line reads to his son? Was his son, like, a big fan of his previous work on TNG in the character?
I'm gonna turn you into an amoeba.
You got boiled amoeba, amoeba scampi, baked amoeba. Grilled amoeba.
That's interesting. Yeah, they don't have that here because John Delancey's been playing Q for decades at this point.
Yeah, so I just wondered, like, Because it doesn't really feel like Keegan Delancey is doing like an impression of his dad.
No.
Per se. But a lot of the mannerisms are very heritable, you know. For all of this episode's flaws, I thought he did a nice job kind of making a new Q character.
So lowercase Q blurps away, and just a second later, BLT radios up telling Janeway she's got to come to engineering. And in engineering, it is an absolute rager. There's a bunch of like burlesque aliens there, a bunch of loafy dudes grinding on them, and the warp core is glowing in this really fun way. It seems like the sort of thing, like, if you were gonna have a work party in engineering, it would look kind of like this.
Yeah, it doesn't seem safe that the warp core is doing this.
No, we've never seen this color in the warp core.
BLT is pretty stressed about it.
Yeah.
If he doesn't stop his little light show, the warp core is going to breach.
Relax. It's a party.
This party is over.
I mean, they all seem like they're pretty down for this party initially, but then the sprinklers go off and just like blood comes down.
What's wrong, baby?
They start to realize that this invite was, you know, there were some strings attached.
Lowercase Q is, as ever, not concerned because he's filled with the confidence of someone who could stop a warp core breach at any time.
He snaps his fingers and kicks all the drips out of his party. So Tuvok, Chakotay, Janeway, and BLT appear in the hallway. They're like, yeah, like there's not really anything we can do about this, right? Like we can't raid engineering and stop him because he will just god power us back out here every time. So the strategy is going to have to be don't give him the satisfaction. Like don't let on that any of this is annoying or off-putting in any way. Everybody's just going to have to be on the same page, W/R/T, not encouraging him. And probably the biggest ask of all of the members of the crew for this is Seven, who has to endure the indignity of lowercase Q snapping her shirt off while she's trying to work in her vestibule.
It's a reminder that Seven doesn't really have all of the emotional traits of a human being. Like, modesty is absent from her altogether because when her clothes blurp away, fortunately, she's at a standing desk. I think we should make that clear. Like, like she's not sitting in a leather chair.
Right.
During. She doesn't even look over her shoulder at lowercase Q. I think that's part of it. Like, she could not care at all.
So he only sees her back, right?
Yeah.
At least there's that. But yeah, like, I don't know, man. Like, not a scene I loved for Star Trek. Just as a thing, like treating a character's dignity as a plaything feels yucky to me.
I think it's a great scene because I think it's important to depict a bad person doing a bad thing. Like this is a hateable action that he's done. So yeah, like I want to see this in order to hate him.
Why did you fill up that gym sock during the scene then?
I filled it up with my foot.
Ew. After? Janeway goes into the mess hall, orders herself a coffee at the replicator. This is a clip that Adam Ragusa used in the Janeway song.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee black.
Make it yourself.
I have an embarrassing admission about this clip in the Janeway song.
Okay.
I have thought that that was Seska saying make it yourself this entire time.
Wow.
And like, Seska's not on the show anymore, but she does pop up very occasionally. So maybe we just haven't gotten to the episode where she says that yet. Or maybe she's saying it about something else and I didn't pick up on it at the time. But where is that clip coming from?
It's just weird to hear the Majel Barrett voice spun this way.
Yeah.
I get that. She's doing a little Seska with this read, but yeah, I never didn't know that that was the computer voice.
God, I feel like an idiot.
Do all women just sound the same to you?
I don't know. Do Seska and Majel Barrett have similar voices?
I don't know. This replicator has a lot of lip.
Yeah.
And to Janeway's credit, I think what a lot of people would do in this scene is try to order again and a third time and maybe bonk the side of the replicator.
Right.
To get it to work, Janeway just disengages completely, goes to sit down, and that's when Neelix saunters over with some analog coffee.
She has to speak to the replicator's manager, is what she does.
Right. Neelix suggests himself as an ideal candidate for lowercase Q's mentorship.
And she's like, why are you asking, Neelix? Did you hear about the age thing?
I think the ideal mentor would be someone who didn't want it so bad.
When the question was asked, who's going to take the Cub Scouts on a camping trip? Your hand flying up first only made us all suspicious of you.
Well, I am good with children.
We cut over to the ass lab where lowercase Q is sitting in what looks like a space beanbag chair.
That's a beanbag.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, and that lamp.
Yeah.
Where did this thing come from?
It's like a gamer chair fucked a beanbag chair because it's got like that high back to it.
Yeah, it looks very comfortable. I tried finding one of these on the Star Trek auction. You know what happened.
What always happens.
Garrett Wong, highest bidder.
He was stating the obvious again.
He's got everything.
Did he get the one that was authentically Keegan DeLancey sat in?
Yeah, the impression of Keegan DeLancey's butt cheeks preserved in the stuffing.
So what lowercase Q is doing in here is watching a space battle, and it's not, it looks like he might be watching like a movie or something initially, but it's revealed that this is an actual dogfight in space between two species, and Neelix is kind of horrified to see them back at it because when Voyager left, those people had been, left in peace. Now they're at war. And lowercase Q is just is stirring up drama left and right. It's just a bad look for him.
It's so weird to think about the inner lives of the people that he's manipulating because, like, on the screen, you see a couple of ships dogfighting. And then he conjures up a third ship to join the fray. What's going on board that third ship? That's got to be very, very surprising for them, right?
Yeah, like they were just pulling in to like refuel and get some snacks and stuff. And then suddenly they find themselves in media dogfight. That's terrifying.
Neelix is as gentle as possible with his suggestion. He's like, look, you know, the Wingari, you know, that ship over there, he points to one of them fighting. He's like, you know, they got a famine on their planet. Maybe instead of using your powers for war, you use them for food. Except lowercase Q is only interested in using his powers for good in one specific way, which is making it so that no one will ever have to hear Neelix's voice again.
Well, I've got your attention.
Do it.
We smash cut to Six Bay where Neelix's mouth is like a smooth, has been covered over with smooth skin. And we hear from Dr. Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
That his jaw has been fused shut and his vocal cords have been removed.
They really had a choice here, right? Because I think we all remember the scene from The Matrix where Agent Smith closes Neo's mouth. You know, that's horrifying. That's body horror.
Yeah.
But like this scene gives us basically the same framing on our character's head. We're super close up to that mouth. It is absent the horror, even though the doctor is like, yeah, his jaw has been welded shut and he doesn't have vocal cords anymore. Like, didn't you want a little bit more gross in this scene?
The description is super gross and upsetting. And
yeah, but in description only. Like, I wanted just a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's a bad part of a bad episode that they didn't get any grosser with it.
What I'm trying to say is the restraint was a great idea.
Well, I couldn't disagree with you more, Adam.
The main takeaway here is that, like, Dr. Mark can fix a lot of what's going on with him, but like only young Q can undo the damage.
Right. Meanwhile, Janeway gets called up to the bridge where lowercase Q has made their problems even worse. Now there are three Borgs cubes chasing them and shooting them. A bunch of drones materialize on the bridge, and it's a big standoff where they're shooting drones, and it looks like Janeway's about to get thwipped with tubules. And just then, OGQ shows up to put everything right and tell not just lowercase q how disappointed he is in him, but also Janeway how disappointed he is in her.
I love how little Chakotay is in this episode. He's sitting next to lowercase q. Like, you'd think he's going to punch him in the face or something. Nope.
Yeah.
He's a passenger.
Sounds great.
What would have made this episode a little bit better would have been, like, camera swings over to Chakotay and, like, a huge pencil has, like, magically bent around him. So he's wrapped in pencil and he can't break his arms free. Prisoner of his own pencil.
Oh, that's dark.
Yeah. That would be fucked up. That would bring back the horror that the Neelix scene lacked.
A pencil the size of the giant fork and spoon kitchen decoration that
exactly
many yeah. a home in the Midwest has enjoyed.
I have a huge problem with this scene because OGQ barks at his son.
Don't provoke the Borg!
What is Q, if not the main provocateur of the Borg? Like,
yeah.
Q was invented to bring the Borg into Star Trek and make them a problem for Star Trek. I mean, I know he was invented to be like a, you know, humanity's judge, jury, and executioner, but his second function was to bring the Borgs in.
If only they'd had this argument in Six Bay, it could be both hypocritical and Hippocratic.
That would have been nice.
Right?
Yeah. So in Janeway's office, he explains, like, I put everything back. Neelix can talk again. And Janeway's like, well, don't put everything back.
You didn't have to go that far. I mean, I think eventually we'd fix it.
Yeah. I mean, it's supposed to be like a scared straight, right? Like, he was like hoping that by dropping his son off, he would come back and have a son who was a man of character now. And he's just very disappointed that Janeway has not threatened lowercase q for his shoes or anything, you know?
Do you think when we cut over to Seven, wherever she is, she's wearing two uniforms at the same time? like Q goes so over the top in repairing the damage that was done earlier, while also like clearly not having really paid a lot of attention to what had happened.
Yeah, she's just pressing buttons in the ass lab and suddenly she's wearing like overalls and a winter coat. So Janeway's like, you don't parent like that, Q. Like, that, I understand like what you're going for, but the way you're going about it is stupid, and here's why.
You can't just dump your child on someone and hope he learns something.
I can't.
Well, it's the sort of thing you see all the time out in the world. Like, it isn't parenting at all. It's just observation.
Right. And the issue is that she is not really in a position to impose consequences on lowercase q due to his godlike superiority.
Mm-hmm.
And also, OGQ is not being a good example. He's not the exemplar of Q that he wants his son to grow up to be in the first place.
What is time? And how much is enough to spend together? These are a few of the questions that have got to be rolling around Janeway's mind when she proposes just spending more time together as father and son. Like, have you tried that?
Yeah.
But, like, it's so crazy to conceive of. Like, if time isn't really a thing for you, what does that even do? It's not really explored in this conversation. Q is happy to snap his fingers, happy at the suggestion, and they go off.
Happy to unconsensually kiss Captain Janeway. Again, just really makes you uncomfortable about the Q overall this episode.
Yeah, I'm not so sure Janeway doesn't want it. I mean, you see what she's wearing.
Jesus. Wow.
Wow.
And during the Max Fun Drive,
two crew members were killed in the breach.
Amazing choice by you to get canceled here and now.
The physical relationship between Q and Janeway has always kind of been there. And yeah, it's not great, but in the spectrum of terrible things Q could do, being an all-powerful, omnipresent being, a closed-mouth kiss is like on an infinite list of bad things he could do. Like, I guess...
That does show remarkable restraint.
Right. That's... That look, I have to be positive about this moment, Ben.
You don't have a choice.
The coin flip says so.
Yeah.
You can't cancel me. Cancel the coin.
Yeah. I mean, I find it hard to control myself around anyone with that many pips on their collar.
Yeah. So on the bridge, the coast appears to be clear of both the Borgs and the Q boys.
The boy is gone.
And with the matter settled, it's bath time. Calgon, take Captain away.
The soft, luxurious, fragrant world of Calgon.
I love a bath. It's my favorite way of relaxing.
I wondered if this was the tub that we saw Neelix in the pilot. Like, it looked very familiar to me.
Except the tub in the pilot was up against, like, a bulkhead wall, and this one's got window over the top. A very pleasing configuration.
Yeah, it's got nice lighting.
I took a bath yesterday. For the first time in a long time, I drove from Portland to L.A.
Oh, yeah. I'm conscious of the fact that you have not taken a bath recently.
Yeah, I know, right? Isn't that a sick irony?
It's fucked up, man.
2 days of, like, 11 hours of driving, I needed a bath in the middle. So I did it. I drew the bath. Too hot. Way too hot. I got in for, like, 3 minutes and got out. It was a waste.
Wow.
Couldn't deal with it.
Were you driving some kind of vehicle that had a bathtub in it? How did you take a bath while on the road?
This was during my halfway break.
Oh, okay.
The break I took in the 2 days it took to drive from Portland to LA.
Amazing.
How do you draw a bath, Ben?
Hmm.
How do you get it just right for temperature?
I mean...
I'll never figure it out. I'll never take a bath again. That's what I promise.
I hate to hear that promise, but... I think the deal is it's just really hot when you first get into it.
Yeah, that sucks. So Q appears fully clothed in Janeway's bubble bath, and he tells her that in the 10 minutes that he was gone, he spent years together with his son, going all over the place, learning from each other, spending time, the time that Janeway suggested that they spend together. And now... Lowercase Q hates him.
Yeah, didn't work.
Yeah.
He's also just dissatisfied with parenting overall. He doesn't like this, like, teenager Q that's embarrassed to be around dad shit. Uh-huh. Now the idea of imposing some consequences is, like, if it wasn't clear before, it should be clear now. And he's like, great, perfect, Kathy. And he leans in for a second kiss and catches some foot to his face. I wondered if this scene was on WikiFeet. I've never been on this website before. I've only heard tale of it, but this has got to be very exciting for a certain kind of person, right?
Through the wall, they can hear Neelix having excitedly eavesdropped on this moment. Really doing it for him.
I've got to get that
Latinum. Put your Latinum where your mouth is.
I've got to get that
Latinum.
I think you've just drunk gold.
Every morning when I hop out of bed, I get a couple of capsules of my Ritual multivitamin and a capsule of my Ritual Symbiotic Plus probiotic. I pop them in my mouth, wash them down with a bunch of water, and I know I've taken vitamins and supplements that are going to get my body off to a good start. And these are rigorously tested and validated by third parties for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. And they use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. The Essential for Men is the quality multivitamin that I take from a company you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/scarves. Start Ritual or add Essential for Men to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/scarves for 25% off. Microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. Now, if you're like me, you were born in the 80s, and
THC was vilified by teachers and police officers and members of the clergy and politicians, and it really got ratcheted up to a fever pitch. So I think it is fair to have a little bit of trepidation around this kind of thing. But I think for a lot of people, a microdose of a cannabis product is actually a great thing. And if you are interested in seeing why it is so ridiculous that the world went so reefer mad for so long, I encourage you to give Microdose Gummies a try. So you get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Promo code SCARVS. It's available nationwide. That's microdose.com. The promo code is SCARVS for 30% off and free shipping. Microdose.com, promo code SCARVS.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
So the consequence that OGQ comes up with for lowercase q is spend some time as an amoeba with no powers. And that is illustrated in the next scene where he's relieved of his petri dish lifestyle.
What's wrong? You didn't enjoy life as an Aprelian amoeba?
No.
He hated it. And he also does not have any powers now. He's made suddenly human. And I mean, we've seen the continuum do this to OGQ before.
Mm-hmm.
Now Janeway can actually compel him to do stuff, and he's going to stay for a week, and he has to stop being a brat by week's end, or he can live the rest of his life as an amoeba. That's the stakes, as has been decided by the continuum.
Lowercase Q hates this and storms off, stepping on the petri dish on his way out. Ben, I watched this scene 15 times. Do you know why?
You wanted to see if petri dish goo was getting on the carpet?
It doesn't. And the reason this scene was so interesting to me was because I think one boot steps on the petri dish and another right leg and boot steps out to take that first step, so as not to wipe petri dish goo on the carpet on the way out. Because Ben, if you play the scene over and over again, you don't see any petri dish goo get tracked on the carpet going forward. That seems impossible.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, LeVar, I know you're here to do press for something else, but I have a question. In Star Trek Voyager Season 7, Episode 19, Q2, when the actor playing Q2 steps into the petri dish and then walks out of the six bay, is that a stunt boot?
Sorry for my friend. He's a huge fan of that episode, and we all know it's not your finest work.
Total bullshit, man. It's just bullshit.
I think it is really hard to tell if it is the same boot or not. Such is the quality of this trick.
The timing of it is really tricky to do.
It's too good.
Yeah.
It's too good for it not to be the same boot, but I still believe, damn it.
So he gets walked down to his quarters. We get to see what what bad quarters on Voyager look like. And they're not bad. They're better than bad quarters on the Cerritos, you know? It's not like he's living in a hallway.
Lower deckers don't end up in fancy rooms.
She makes sure to take off his pips. It seems as though that is very important.
Yeah.
It feels like this is a ship with a smaller crew complement, but still, you don't want any four pippers walking around getting any of that that stolen pip valor, right?
Right. So she's got a curriculum that she's come up with.
There's coffee and respect and responsibility.
And his first stop is in the ass lab, where Seven and Icheb are going to be showing him the widespread repercussions of his destruction.
What a weird first lesson.
Yeah.
The lesson that he wants is to be taught by a naked teacher.
Right.
And my question for you is this a show that is trying to make the case that Jeri Ryan's body is so beautiful that it's one of the most beautiful things in the entire universe if lowercase q wants to see it?
Yeah.
Or will just any naked body do for lowercase q? He's just a perv. Which do you think it is?
Oh, maybe he's just a come one, come all horn dog, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's unclear.
He does say it to Seven and not Icheb, notably. He doesn't ask Icheb to dump him out.
It's a good thing, too. Our parents used to have to bathe us together. Gross.
Let's just say our family is not gifted in that way.
This mop handle is the longest thing I've held in my hands by far. What we get here is like kind of a montage of these vignettes, right? We get the ass lab scene. We get a diplomacy program scene that's run by Chakotay.
Is this where Keegan DeLancey got bit by the diplomacy bug? Or did he like this scene so much that he then changed careers? He was like, I don't think acting's for me. I think I've got a little something called it when it comes to working out problems between warring nation states or whatever.
You know what I love? Angry people at a table. Always have. That's wild to think about.
Yeah, big fan. So glad that DiplomacyCon came back to San Diego this year. I noticed that you were in a couple of acting roles earlier in life, mostly as a choir boy, but notably in one episode of Star Trek Voyager where you briefly got to be a diplomat. Did that inform what you've done with your career from that point on?
I'd take my answer over there, but there's no food at this convention. And there's like four other people here.
Get a light.
Chakotay breaks the mining rights in half and puts him in the center of this table and then leaves lowercase q to deal with it. Before we go into the corridor outside, and Janeway's really surprised to run into Chakotay out there. He's like, I got it. Don't worry about it. Like, right. He's got to learn how to fail. That's part of growing up. And I stuck him with the Kobayashi Maru of diplomatic missions. The problem with the Kobayashi Maru as a test is that it can be cheated if one were to change the rules of the program.
Got a commendation for original thinking.
What they don't know is that lowercase q has done that. When Chakotay walks back in, he's solved the mining rights problem, and they've already, like, moved on to the party part of the diplomacy.
The Cardassians and the Bajorans are hugging.
It's great. You love to see it.
How's that for order in the universe?
In the mess hall, lowercase q continues his coursework as a server behind the counter. And Neelix is loud talking in this scene because he can and because he knows it irritates lowercase q. This is great.
Yeah. Too bad you can't just shut me up again, huh?
My favorite scene! In an episode full of great scenes.
Oh, yeah. It was a real delight, Adam. I mean, it is hard for me to look past this one to drag this episode, as I am required, unfortunately, to do by the coin.
It is so apparent that this is the quinoa salad that we have had over and over and over again in airport lounges across the country.
Lowercase Q asks Echeb's help in writing an essay, because that's another thing he's got coming up. Echeb was down there to invite him to do like recreational activities. Echeb's being really nice to Lowercase Q, despite what a dick Lowercase Q has been the entire time.
It's shocking, right?
I don't want what's best for Echeb, mainly because of the guy who plays him, but it is really sad to see this character step on the social rake as many times as he does in this episode.
Ben, if you don't want nice things to happen to Echeb, wait about 20 years. I love what happens in this scene because it reminds me so much of, not to place the episode in time in a specific way, but the latest Curb episode where Leon gets Freddy Funkhauser's jacket just by complimenting it.
Yeah.
And it becomes a thing. Like, just noticing a thing and complimenting a thing can often mean that that thing is given to you.
I'll bet that works like 50% of the time.
Right.
And in this scene, that same thing happens because Lowercase Q kind of shows some appreciation for how good Echeb is at the academics and kind of gasses him up into writing his essay for him.
I'll get a pad.
We find this out because he's like in the next scene finishing off his oral presentation of his essay to Janeway. And she's like, that is obviously ChatGPT. And by ChatGPT, I mean Echeb's writing style.
In the first scene, I was jacking off to the essay. It was so good. This essay doesn't flood my basement at all.
And then we, you know, find he changed the conditions of the test for the diplomacy problem that Chakotay gave him. And unlike Kirk, nobody thinks that this is cool. They just think it's academic dishonesty.
It's been a charade the whole time.
Yeah. She is like, you know, you can go sit in your quarters and think about what you've done and you'll be living out the rest of your life as an amoeba. And he's like, no, I didn't mean to cheat. I just like wanted to do really well. And this is the way I know how to do that. And it is in this scene that he realizes that to achieve the desired goal, he is actually going to have to apply himself and do his best without cheating. And Janeway is really glad that he was able to see his way through to that realization.
I think it's great. He just gets chance after chance to blow it.
I think everybody watching this show that is the son of a famous actor will really identify with this character.
We have 20 more minutes to fill in this episode. Therefore, I'm giving you a sixth chance.
Step out of line again and I'm through with you. Understood?
Understood.
Don't like this episode, but I do like the way Janeway enunciates dismissed at the end of this. She really like puts all the mustard on that first syllable.
Dismissed.
I did not notice that.
Oh, it's so good. It's like Janeway's dismissed is as good as Chakotay's fire, I would say.
It's like Lance Reddick saying the word lieutenant.
Yeah. RSVP. We cut to 4 days later, and he's really turned over a new leaf. He's doing a great job actually participating and learning.
Captain's log. Lowercase Q has stopped treating us like shit. Like, that's basically the point. Yeah. A pretty low bar.
Yeah. But he did redo his essay, so that was nice.
Uh-huh. In walks Echeb in the mess hall where Lowercase Q had been performing this essay. And Echeb turns it into an invitation for pilot lessons that Tom Paris is giving.
Pretty cool invite. It doesn't seem like the kind of thing you could just invite whoever to come along on.
I think it's so interesting that the B story of this episode, Were There to Be One, isn't Echeb desperately wanting a friend, which, like, his behavior totally indicates, but there's never a point where he actually says that to anyone else or says it directly to lowercase q or whatever. But it sure seems like that, right?
It is very evident that that is a challenge for Icheb ever since the rest of the Lilisborgs left. But yeah, like, he's giving lowercase q as many chances as Janeway does.
I know you don't want to do it.
Do it. Coffee black.
Make it yourself.
I'm trying to help you see this as an opportunity to grow.
Make it yourself.
The next scene is on the Delta Flyer, and they both get to, like, swap seats at the controls. It's a pretty fun ride. Paris is a pretty good teacher. And on Voyager, Q pops out of a turbo lift that Janeway's ready to get on, and Janeway just kind of nopes her way out of that interaction.
Going up?
I'll catch the next one.
But you can't walk away from a Q, can you?
No.
He just blurps right in front of her and asks about lowercase Q's progress. He does not want to believe that he's gotten any better. And Janeway's like, I can prove it. And in the next scene, we see another great essay reading. I love essay readings, and we get three of them in this episode.
Yeah, personally, I didn't care for any of the three essay readings, and I kind of felt like they were just filler in the script.
You got a rule of threes, the essay readings, I say. And at the end of this reading, so ends the reading, Ben, and she is way more impressed than he is, and lowercase q notices right away. Ben, maybe for the FODs watching, you could demonstrate what a disappointing look in a father's face is.
Oh, yeah. He's got the kind of, you know, arms crossed, but like up high on his chest. And
yeah. The up high arms cross is like analogous to the Cal Hudson comm badge situation.
Right. The higher the arms are crossed. Like, you don't want to go too high because then you look like you're in a B-boy stance. With flip-flops and socks and sweatpants.
You do not B-boy those arms if you're a disappointed dad.
No, I've been practicing, you know, like so that Darone can toil under a father that never gives him any validation.
Yeah.
A boy.
That's going to be the parenting style that I kind of shoot for.
Oh, it's very nice.
And the cat's in the cradle in the super spoon. How is lowercase q surprised by this? He seems genuinely hurt by his dad's behavior here, and he leaves in a huff. And Janeway is like...
But it's not that OGQ is disappointed in him. He's disappointed in Janeway. He wishes the instruction was at a higher level.
What's next? Basket weaving?
This is what you have to look forward to in every PTA meeting you're going to attend for Darone. Like, that tension between whose fault is it that Darone is fucking up.
Right.
Is it his fault or is it the teacher's?
Let's just assume it's the teacher's because my little boy, he would never.
OGQ has to be honest, not impressed. And the continuum isn't going to be impressed either because exemplary Q-ness is what they're after. And guess what? Writing a great essay is not it.
So Janeway goes and visits lowercase q and tries to comfort him a little bit.
She walks in without using the door chime, and he's just been jacking it.
Knock on my door! Knock next time!
Whoa! Lock the door, lowercase q.
Did you use replicator credits to replicate a shoebox? Oh my god, what's in there?
Oh, what's in the box?
Q's like, I have felt the pleasures of the universe that you could not possibly imagine. And yet, as a corporeal human being, jacking off is a delight.
It's subtle.
Our sponsor for today's episode is Manscaped.
They're going to ship a razor out to you, and it's going to be in a box that you can use for all kinds of things. She's kind of offering a safety net here, right? Like, you can at least be a human and live on this ship if you fail. Like, I'll make sure that the continuum doesn't turn you into an amoeba. And he's like, that is not a satisfactory outcome to me. That sounds like dog shit. The distinction is basically meaningless in my mind.
Because, like, what she's saying without saying it is that, like, you can slum it with us if you can't cut it with a continuum. And he hates this. He should hate it.
Yeah.
He's got an amazing life out there. He doesn't want to be human. He's had that sweet, sweet Q coke shoot up his nose, and nothing else is going to do it for him.
Yeah. He goes and finds Itchy, which is Icheb's new name. Itchy is working in a Jeffrey's tube, and he persuades him to go help him fix an engine problem on the Delta Flyer that they saw. Like, the check engine light came on when they were having their flying lesson the other day, and they're going to go wrench under the hood and fix it. And no sooner have they fixed the check engine light on the Delta Flyer than lowercase q is jaking the ship, and he blocks Icheb in back there at the back of the bridge area.
How did you do that?
And phasers open the shuttle bay door and flies this ship out.
I love shooting the door off.
Yeah.
What a moment.
I loved seeing it from the inside of the shuttle bay. It looked great.
That's the distinction exactly. Like, so often we would have seen this from the exterior. Now.
Right. Or just heard it described on the bridge.
We see the Delta Flyer go through something I don't think we've ever seen before, Ben. And I think we can just call it a space gash.
He had me at gash.
And on the other side of this thing, the Clavari system. A place young Q has promised is full of babes.
The Clavari system has got to be named after the cloaca that they made in space, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Icheb does not want to meet these women. He wants to go home to Voyager.
Yeah, he's like, there's a perfect woman back on Voyager. What are we doing?
You've wanted to see her naked constantly. How could we possibly leave that?
Yeah. I was very excited to see what the Clovari babes looked like after hearing them talked up so much. But instead, they get rolled on by local police who are preparing to arrest them for, I guess, like, just being in the wrong part of space.
I love how this ship looked. It looked really distinct from anything else we've seen.
Yeah, kind of Romulan, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that Romulan green.
It was Romulan green in a way that I was like, this should have just been a design for a Romulan ship. Like, throw a different paint swatch on that, you know?
Smooth lines. I dug it.
I hated it. I don't want them taking ships away from the Romulans that are rightfully theirs.
I know you and I have been in this situation. The passenger in a vehicle is a teenager where the driver does not want to pull over, and instead they flee.
Yeah.
And this is the situation that Icheb is in.
It's very stressful. They do lick a shot at this ship and then go back through a space gash, but not before Icheb gets Worf lightninged. And back on Voyager, the Delta Flyer shows up and lowercase q gets on FaceTime begging for Janeway to beam Itchy to Six Bay to fix him up.
Hey, Ben. If I took my vehicle to a service station and damaged my car while fueling it, would that be a gash gash?
Yeah, I think that's what that would be, Kevin.
Okay. Hey.
Later. And just to expand on that a little bit, I think if somebody saw you damage your car in that context and made a noise, it might be a gash, gash, gasp.
If that person saw this incident and was moved to take pity on me because I didn't have any money, would they give me gash, 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 cash?
I mean, I think that they would give you gash, 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 cash, ash, or grash. Because no one rides for free in this context.
We'll be right back.
In Six Bay, Dr. Mark does not know how to fix what has happened to Itchy. Itchy is hurt in a way that, you know, he needs to know a lot more about the the weapon that did it to figure this out. So Janeway is like, lowercase q, you stole a candy bar, and you and I are going to go back to the store, and you are going to apologize to the minimum wage employee and make them a part of my parenting moment for some reason.
This sucks. This sucks for everyone.
It is no fun.
But it's a great scene.
It is a good scene. I mean,
I get to say that. You can't say that.
Fuck! I shouldn't have smoked all that weed before we started recording. I can't remember which side of the thing I'm on. So yeah, he has to confront on FaceTime the angry captain of this ship. And the captain of the ship is like, cool, well, you're off the hook, but Janeway, you are going to have to endure the punishment for the crimes of the child. That's just the way it works in our culture. I don't make the rules. I just enforce them at gunpoint.
Yeah.
Unquestioningly.
Pretty great.
Lowercase Q is very upset by this. He kind of wants to throw himself on the punishment grenade and is begging for the punishment to be brought down on his head. And this is when this weird loafy alien is finally broken. And he's like, I'm so proud of you. And reveals himself to be none other than OGQ. In disguise.
Surprise!
Well, this is all great and everything, but what about E-Chip back in Six Bay? Oh, he's fine. I fixed it. Just now, is what Q says.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, this was all parenting done by Q. Janeway's outraged because she's like, so this was just a deus ex machina? Like, this was all done for his benefit and we were left to worry about the safety of our crew for no fucking reason? And he's like, yep. And I feel like she's as mad at the episode as I am at this point for just being like, what has this all been for? Like, what has been...
At least there were stakes in early season Star Trek The Next Generation. You had the Borgs carve out a toilet area from the Enterprise. Many people died. You're saying none of that happened here?
Yeah.
No one died on a toilet on Voyager?
What kind of horrible joke?
Everything gets undone. Lowercase Q is brought before a panel of Encounter at Farpoint judges. Do Qs just dress like they're in the post-atomic horror whenever they're judging something?
I think so. They left the forklift off screen, though. These judges are seated, unmoving.
Yeah. They have decided that lowercase Q is not going to turn into an amoeba, but he's also not going to get his powers back. He's going to remain human. And we know that everybody in Star Trek wants to remain Klingon, in fact. So this is not a satisfactory outcome for anyone.
Not at all. I mean, lowercase Q seems to come to terms with it pretty fast because in the ready room later, he's like, hey, you know, if I'm going to be human, I might as well stay with humans. So can I stick around on the ship to continue the training? And like the moment Janeway asks about OGQ, OGQ appears to tell them that he appealed the judgment from the 3Q judgment.
The Q tribunal, if you will.
It is a literal tribunal.
Yeah. Is it a tricunal?
It is. All he had to do was threaten to leave the continuum. He's like, if you kick my boy out, I'm leaving too.
We're a package deal.
So they walked it back, and now lowercase Q has his powers again, and specifically the power to make flowers, which he gives to Janeway in this scene as kind of a thank you for the week of work that she's had, which has been pretty tough.
She also gets compensated in the form of a couple of years off of their trip. Not a huge thank you from Q, but I also wondered like how they're going to get their monthly broadcasts from Starfleet if they jump forward kind of a lot. Because isn't it predictive? Like they send the tight beam at the part of space that they think they're going to be in?
Sure is, Ben. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really is going to fuck them all up.
Yeah, that's going to be a disappointing development, actually.
Starfleet's going to be like, why were you so communicative in the first year and then you stopped talking to us for the next 60 years?
It's like, can't pick up the phone at all?
Yeah. The case that OGQ makes is that this would make me like the Ichib in the assignment. I can't write your essay for you. You need to do this one yourself. And in this way, Janeway approves, doesn't she? We've come full circle in a perfectly crafted episode. Ben, did you like it?
You know, I'm really easy to get along with most of the time. But I don't like bullets. I don't like threats. And I don't like you. Understood?
No, I did not like it. I thought it was extremely trite. It was basically an episode asking me to invest a bunch in both a literal and a character Nepo baby who just gets life handed to him on a silver platter over and over and again until he finally, you know, achieves one minor thing. And that's good enough for everybody to be like, great, well, you get to be rich and famous forever. You know, you get to have all power over time and space that you want. I Star Trek at its best is, you know, they're little morality stories. They're little explorations of human nature. And so I don't think explorations of Q nature really move the needle for me. It's sad to me, you know, like I think that when we first started noticing LeVar Burton getting directing credits on episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, we really praised what skill he had as a director.
It's true.
And it's just kind of heartbreaking to see an artist get worse and worse as their career progresses. How about you?
Wow, Ben. LeVar Burton catching strays out there for some reason. Amazing. No one will ever know why you're going at him so hard in this episode. Kind of bewildering.
Yeah.
From where I'm sitting. Not just a great episode, Ben. The best episode of Star Trek Voyager, I think, was Q2. I think there are problems that omnipotent beings endure that we'll never understand. And maybe that's why we don't understand it in this episode.
You're making the, like, why do we get sick? Well, God works in mysterious ways, Ben, argument.
Precisely. You see, Ben, we're too feeble-minded to grasp the challenges that they have to go through. And like, the episode tries to tell their story, but look, no episode could do that. Mm. And in its own way, it does tell that story, right? Yeah, pretty incredible. Loved it.
So,
I think I'm also going to love this week's Priority One messages, Ben. You want to see what we have over there?
Okay, fine.
Priority One message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
Need a supplemental income.
Supplemental income?
Supplemental.
Supplemental.
Yeah, it's extra.
By the interest alone, could be enough to buy this ship.
This episode came out during the Max Fun Drive, or the Greatest Gen Drive, rather, of 2024. So no P1s on this episode, but if you'd like to get one for an upcoming episode, it is MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron to make that happen.
Hey, Ben.
What's that, Adam?
Did you find yourself a drunk Shimoda?
I'm going to give it to Keegan DeLancey because I do really feel like this must have been a ton of fun to go to work with Dad and like goof around. And like, I think that he does a really nice job with the character being a high status asshole in many scenes when that is what the character is doing, and a kind of groveling whelp in other scenes. And have it really feel contiguous, like that's one character doing those two status things. When he is walking through Voyager and has, you know, full control of his powers and doesn't give a shit what anyone thinks of him, he is so obnoxious to be around. And then when he has nothing and like is really at their mercy, he gets his shit together real quick. Mm-hmm. And I just thought he did a really nice job with a pretty high-stakes acting challenge, I would say. I have to imagine it was fun to be, you know, like His dad was a beloved guy that they loved having back on these Star Trek sets. So, I mean, I think that this is the last Q appearance for a long time. So fun for him to get to go participate in that. Thought he did a nice job. Now that the coin flip is not influencing what I'm saying.
Yeah, hard to choose anyone else, Ben. Such was the experience and performance for Keegan Delancey. This would be his last role, his last acting role.
Yeah.
Was this. So what a way to go out.
So maybe he actually hated it. He was like, fuck this.
This is a hell of a way to get your child not to get into the industry, is to act across from them out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to buy that guy a drink and ask him some questions about what it was like to do this.
Well, maybe if you were at war with another country, you could hire him.
Mm-hmm. That would be great. Okay, Adam, it's the time of the show where we decide how we will be doing the next episode. Why don't you head over to gach.biz/game and get ready to roll that bone while I tell you about Season 7, Episode 20, Author. The Doctor publishes a hollow novel based on his Voyager experiences, which scandalizes the crew.
Is it true that there are only 6 episodes left in all of Star Trek Voyager?
That is true, Adam.
I can't believe it.
We're running downhill.
Wow. Well, we're practically at the top of the mountain at the Game of Buttholes. The Will of the Caretaker, currently on square 87, one row from the top.
Wow.
3 squares ahead. We've got a Traveler episode, which would move us back 5. And then 2 squares after that, Neelix's galley. What do you think is going to happen?
You're required to learn as you play. Roll.
It would take a 5 to do a drinking episode.
We'll see.
Here I go. I have rolled a 5.
Wow.
A lemonade!
It's the antidote!
Only bad things happen to us anymore on our game board. Top row of the game, square 92. It's a Neelix's Galley episode, which means you and I are going to drink Talaxian champagne the whole time.
Whoa, okay.
How about that?
Interesting twist. I hope we do really well in the drive so we can afford nice bottles of Talaxian champagne for next episode.
Oh, yeah. If we don't, we get what we deserve. Swill.
Corbell. Well, we should do some credits, Adam. Got to thank Wendy Pretty, our beloved producer, editor. We got to thank Rob Adler, our new director of social media.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Tilly, our consigliere. We got to thank Adam Ragusea, who made the original Janeway song and is hard at work on the Entrepreneurs song for what we have coming.
I hope so.
That's all inspired by Dark Materia's original Picard song. Hey, thanks to everyone who has supported already in the Max Fun Drive. You know, we're going into week 2 right now. This isn't a pledge break, but please support MaximumFun.org/join. And with that, we will be back at you next week with another great episode of Star Trek Voyager, an episode of The Greatest Generation Voyager, where Adam and Ben tell all in a way that upsets each other as well. I guess we just get a little loose-lipped with all that Talaxian champagne going down our gullets.
Looking forward to that. Getting a little loose.
Make it so.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows
supported
directly
by you.